This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
The one, the only, John Rich.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're so fired up that you're coming to the Idaho Center.
It's been a while since we've been up in your neck of the woods, so we're rolling into town to come give you guys a big and rich time, man. It's been too long.
Fighting for Idaho.
We got this little thing called the American Dream. Everybody should go for the biggest and best thing that they want to go for. We live in a country that lets us go for it. Don't be lazy. If you're an American, don't be lazy. Go for it.
Fighting for you.
You were always kind to me and treated me with respect, so I'm glad to hear you're out there and doing well. The folks out there now get to listen to you, so it's good for y'all listening.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
You've got a real rock star on your hands.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. We're joined by the one, the only, John Rich. Mr. Rich, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
You know, brother, I got to tell you something. I've been following you for quite some time. We're so fired up that you're coming to Idaho. You're coming to the Idaho Center. It is a privilege and an honor to speak with you.
Well, I appreciate that. We are excited to come. It's been a while since we've been up in your neck of the woods. So, Big Kenny and I, Cowboy Troy, the whole hee-haw gang, as I call it, we're rolling into town to come give you guys a big and rich time, man. It's been too long.
Can I ask you, how did you and Big Kenny hook up? Everybody knows that you're a great performer, great songwriter. They love you in Nash Vegas. How did you guys hook up?
Well, you know what? We met in 1999. Kenny had moved to Nashville from Virginia, and I had been here because I was with the band Lone Star. So I had been here for several years before that. And we had a mutual friend who worked for Fender Guitars. She was a Fender guitar rep. She knew Kenny. She knew me. We didn't know each other. And she told the two of us, hey, you guys ought to get together and write. You should write a song together. She just said, you're two really interesting people. I'd be curious to see what would happen if the two of y'all wrote a song. And so we said, all right. So we got together and kind of blind date style, wrote a song, had a blast, and said, let's write another one. And wrote another good one. Well, let's write another one. And that turned into now 15 years of Big Kenny and I writing songs and making music.
John Rich, how do you define what we all think, put it in a song, and have us addicted to it again and again, listening to it on the radio?
Well, you know, I mean, songwriting is not a hobby, number one. I mean, if you're going to do it for real, if you're really going to try to write great things that will live longer than you will, which is the whole point of life, I think, in general, is to do things that outlive you. You know, it takes many, many years. You gotta work with people that are better than you are, learn from people, and then, you know, when an idea strikes you, the whole trick to a song is, like you just said, how do I take an idea and firmly plant that idea, you know, in somebody's head in 3 minutes? Oh, and it has to rhyme, you know? It's a challenge, man. I've written over 2,000 songs in my career, and out of those 2,000, there's been probably a couple of hundred of them that have been cut. So, you know, for every 10 songs I write, there's 9 of them that you'll never hear.
Kevin Miller with John Rich here at 580 KIDO. Big and Rich coming to town Friday. Make sure you get your tickets. The Fan Jam, we'll have much more on that coming up. But back to you, to do what you do, whether it's the Celebrity Apprentice, whether it's Nashville Star, whether it's creating new acts, whether it's performing for yourself, whether it's the bar in Nash Vegas, you have to have an undeniable belief. And I'm sure people have said to you, oh, John Rich, you're never going to do this, this, and this. How have you overcome those doubters, and what can we learn from you?
Wow. I mean, I grew up in a trailer park in Amarillo, Texas. Now, Amarillo is up in the panhandle of Texas, so up in the top. You know, my dad was a non-denominational charismatic preacher. I'm the oldest of 4 kids. And, you know, honestly, if people tell you you can't do this or you're never going to do that or you're crazy for trying it, you know, there's 2 ways to take that. One is to believe them and then don't go for it. And the other is we got this little thing called the American Dream. And people said America was impossible, too. They said, why are you guys getting on a boat and heading across the ocean? You're going to die. Why are you doing that? And, you know, for me, somebody says, why are you doing that? You can't do that. I go, well, I just use it as fuel. And it's not that it's you turn around and go, see, I told you so. You don't have to say anything. You just go let your actions speak for themselves. And I think that goes in any walk of life. Everybody should go for the biggest and best thing that they want to go for. Nobody should ever not go for it. We live in a country that lets us go for it. And that's why everybody is willing to, you know, crawl through the desert on their hands and knees if they have to get here. And we were born here, so we just have it. So if you have it and don't use it, you know, you run the risk of losing it. And I think that that goes into a lot of what we're seeing nowadays just across the country. Laziness. Don't be lazy. If you're an American, don't be lazy. Go for it. This is a huge privilege to live here.
John Rich with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. You know, I've learned a lot about you, and, you know, there, for a brief time I was in Nashville working at the talk station there, WTN.
Mm-hmm.
And this was many years ago, and I don't know if you remember me, but I had a chance to go to a private showcase that you guys invited me to, and you go, Kevin, we invite a million people to it. And I met a guy that was working at Best Buy, and I go, hey, what are you doing? He goes, well, you know, I write for John Rich at the Plowboy Mansion. I go, really? Tell me more. You give a lot back, and I'm going to hit you with something, and I don't know if this is you or not, but when I got the boot there, I got an email. The station got an email from somebody saying that they were John Rich, saying, hey, I really miss that Kevin Miller guy. And I've often wondered if that was you, and this was about 8 or 9 years ago, and I would always go over to the Warner Brothers place, which is over by De Mumm Room, as you know,
yeah.
Sir, and I
yeah.
remember passing off Miller in the Morning mugs to you and all that, and I was only there for a brief time,
yeah.
but I remember you, and I always wanted to, and this is before, you know, you were, you know, as big as you were even huger back then. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting nervous saying this, but I remember that email, and I'm just wondering if you remember me at all.
Of course I do. I mean, yeah, I mean, when I, you know, you were great. I mean, you are great. You know, I wish you were still here. But, you know, the folks out there now get to listen to you, so it's good for y'all listening. You've got a real rock star on your hands. And yeah, that was, you know, you were always kind to me and treated me with respect. And I, just like you are in this interview, and you know, it's not a hard thing to just pop a note to somebody, you know? So, I'm glad to hear you're out there and doing well.
Well, no, sir, I will tell you that made, so much, it meant so much to me because, you know, Nashville is such a dream and we're where God wants us to be. But to get that from you, really, it was one of the highlights of my life. So thank you.
Well, absolutely. So I'm assuming you're coming to the show.
Oh, my wife, I'm coming. Yes. When Rich Summer said, hey, what do you think of this? I go, dude, I've got to outdo Wild Country. I've got to be there.
Well, it's great. And you know what Rich, what they're doing over there at Wild Country is, if you buy a ticket, they're donating a ticket to a military personnel.
Yes. Yeah,
so
they are.
There's going to be a lot of military personnel that's going to get to come. You know, come to the show that otherwise probably wouldn't be able to come. So it's gonna be a great event. We can't wait to get there.
Well, as you can tell, I can't wait for you to be here. But if you have a minute, I have to ask you some more questions, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
John Rich with us here at 580KIDO. Now, you sometimes, you'll go on with our friend Sean Hannity and others. You will talk a little politics. In fact, I believe it was New York where you and some friends of yours performed at the RNC, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was, I've been on the campaign trail with Fred Thompson.
Right.
I was out there with McCain. You know, I've done a lot of that stuff. And to be honest with you, you know, I have taken bloody noses over some of that in my career. People that, you know, don't think along the same lines I think of, about our country, you know, I've had people not play my music. I've had people not want to book me on a show. I mean, on and on and on. And so, you know, it is somewhat of a measured thing that I do when you're talking politics and you have a full blown career going on in a business that is largely liberal. But you know, everybody knows what I think and where I stand on stuff. So, you know, like in our shows, we don't speak politics on stage. And Kenny and I don't agree on everything anyway, so, you know, we kind of leave it out of our show. But when it comes to, like if you follow me on Twitter or anything like that,
right.
You might see me every now and then weighing in on something.
John Rich with us, Big and Rich here, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO. How did you, by the way, brilliant you winning the Celebrity Apprentice. You know, you did it with class, humility, effort. How'd you do that? What was that like going one-on-one with Trump?
Oh, Donald Trump. He's fantastic, right? John Rich, you're a great champion. That guy is something else. He's exactly on camera how he is off camera. I mean, that's him. He is a larger-than-life kind of guy. And the only reason I did Celebrity Apprentice was I, for years, have been a fundraiser and supporter for St. Jude Children's Hospital in Memphis. And I wanted to go on the show and see if I could, as a personal challenge for myself, and then also to just raise big awareness for St. Jude, I want to see if I could raise $1 million, because nobody ever raised $1 million on the show. And that was my personal goal. And the only way I was able to navigate that show, because I will tell you, I was there for 58 days, and 56 of those days I was on camera. So it was just brutal. I mean, it was a schedule like I have never had ever, and don't want to ever have that schedule again. But the way I navigated it was basically, you know, if you're playing on behalf of something bigger than yourself, then you have to put yourself in the back. So ego, things that are in your mind that you want to say, but you don't let them come out, because, you know, it may compromise the ultimate goal, which in that case was raising $1 million for St. Jude. And so it was an exercise in patience. And I actually learned a lot in those 58 days on just, if you're going after something big, how to patiently yet aggressively go after it.
No, it was amazing. And I go, watch out for John Rich. He's going to take this from week one, just based on your experience and your performance and everything else, and that level of maturity that a lot of people just didn't get.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people thought, he's going to turn a desk upside down, or remember, I grew up in a trailer park in Amarillo, Texas, all right, and with two younger sisters, and I grew up knowing how to break a guy's nose, you know. I mean, my granddaddy had 6 Purple Hearts in World War II and Golden Gloves boxer. My dad's a charismatic preacher who drives a Harley and has a 380 on his leg. I mean, you know, these are the guys I come from. So you can unfortunately Google some stories about me in previous years of fighting and, you know, rowdy and all that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of people thought, oh, that's what he's going to be like on Apprentice. Maybe even the people that asked me to be on the show thought I would do that. But it was a real opportunity for me to show everybody, nah, that's not really what makes me tick.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, we're coming to your city.
Kevin Miller in the morning. We are joined by one of the biggest stars, not just in country music, but in the era of entertainment, sports, politics. You just kind of wonder really where he gets his vibe, his charge, his mojo, if you will. John Rich with us, Big and Rich, coming to town this Friday here at 580KIDO. We're so proud of it. We're so happy. The idea of what fuels the fire, the motivation, is it politics? Is it music? Is it sports? I mean, coming to your city is so infamous, but I love it when you're talking about going to Chippewa and going to partying with the hillbillies. And a lot of people don't understand that, yeah, Marilyn Manson does live in Canton, Ohio, or is from Canton, Ohio. Where'd you get that from?
Well, Big Kenny and I were asked to do a songwriting mentoring class, basically, with these 10 kids, 10 young college kids who wanted to be songwriters. And they had won a contest or something and were able to sit down with Big and Rich and basically watch us write a song in front of them, and everybody's going to watch. And so we said, okay, let's everybody write down on this piece of paper what town you're from. And so it was 10 different cities. And we said, okay, here's the challenge. Can we write a song that incorporates all 10 of these cities and make it make sense? And so 2 hours later, Coming to Your City had been written in that room and has now been the theme song for College Game Day football for going on 10 years.
And you replaced Bubba Sparks.
Bubba Sparks?
Yeah, that was Bubba Sparks was the theme before you guys. You took over it. Bubba Sparks had
the theme. Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm friends with him. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he was on for like 2 years, but then Coming to Your City, and then they have you kind of change it every once in a while, right?
Yeah, actually, the new one is going to tomorrow morning will be the first time it airs, and ESPN shot a whole new opening sequence for it. So it's actually Big and Rich and Cowboy Troy And then there's this girl named Lizzie Hale, who's like a just phenomenal rock, up-and-coming rock singer, musician. Like, she's real, real rock and roll. And she's in it with us, too. So if you're turn on ESPN tomorrow morning, you'll see that.
Oh, yeah. John Rich with us, Big and Rich, Kevin Miller here at 580K IDO. Where did you get the lyrics for Big Time? That just sums up friendship, doesn't it? I'm amazed by that song.
Yeah, I mean, that's me and Kenny looking at each other going, you know, I mean, if you took away everything we've got, we would still be two guys with a couple of guitars playing somewhere.
Right.
I mean, with a tip jar. It's like I said, country music is not a hobby to us. It's what we've, it's, I've been doing it my entire life, you know. So I turned 40 this past January, and I started in Lone Star at 18. So I've got 22 years of making country music at 40 years old. So, you know, Big Time, that's what it's about. It's, hey, man, you know, if it all went away tomorrow, we'd still be sitting somewhere having a good time.
Right. I sing my song in the sunshine, sir. It's gotten me through some tough times, so thank you for that song. A very emotional GAC with you and Big Kenny about the 8th of November. Again, another cutting-edge song. And speaking of giving back to the military, what you did for that unit.
Yeah, the 8th of November is a song that Kenny and I wrote about a bartender that we had in Deadwood, South Dakota. So if you're a biker or anything, you probably heard of Sturgis, you know, the huge bike rally up there. So Deadwood's 10 miles from there. And this bartender, Niles Harris, you know, we got to know him. We were playing this little place up there and found out his story that he had been in Vietnam, 173rd Airborne, in 1965, November the 8th, it was the first major ambush of Vietnam. And everybody in his platoon was killed except him and one other guy, and he was shot to smithereens. They got him out. He spent 2 years at Walter Reed Medical Center, then got out and went back and did three more tours of Vietnam. And, you know, retired Army Ranger and all this stuff. And we were just so blown away by his story. And by him, Kenny and I, we said, we should write a song about Niles. So we wrote the 8th of November and played it for him, and not thinking it would ever be on a record or the radio. And he loved it, and he just said, hey, make sure if you ever play that song, understand every veteran has a story like mine on the 8th of November. Everybody's got their own story if they've served. So always dedicate it to everybody. So we always do. So when we come to your town, we will be playing 8th of November, and all the military will get a huge salute from us and the entire audience.
Amazing. Now, John Rich, please correct me if I'm wrong here at 580K IDO. Didn't you and Big Kenny go back to Vietnam?
We did. We retraced Niles' steps and took him with us all the way back to Vietnam, got on a flatboat on the Mekong Delta and went 2 hours up the Mekong Delta. Got off on land and then went on foot about 2 miles off out in the jungle and found the exact spot where that battle went down. Niles still had his boots from that battle because the boots stayed on him, and somehow they wound up staying with him all the way back to the United States. I mean, soaked in blood and cut up, and he had just had them hanging in his garage, and he said it had always been a dream of his to go back to that spot and bury those boots. And so we said, well, let's make it happen, after the song became obviously a big hit and everything. So, yeah, we flew all the way back to the other side of the world, took Niles with us, and dug a hole and buried his boots.
Yeah.
And actually did a huge documentary on it that is viewable. If you go on YouTube, just punch in 8th of November, Big and Rich, and you'll see it right there.
Yeah, I remember watching that going, well, you're not an Amarillo anymore.
Yeah, Vietnam... it was an interesting trip. I don't have a lot of will to want to go back. And that, you know, and that's another thing about America, man. You go to other places like that, and you realize how people live. We've got it good over here.
John Rich with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580K IDO, getting ready for Big and Rich coming up Friday. What about you? What about the future? We've talked about your great songs. They live forever. What about you, the new age of country? What's coming up for both of you, for you and Big Kenny?
We've actually got a song doing really well on the radio right now that Wow Country's been playing a lot called Look at You. It's doing great, actually. Just went into the top 20 this week and heading the top 10, it looks like. And a new record actually hitting the shelves September 23rd. So so, you know, like 3 weeks. The record's called Gravity. There's a song on there that we wrote with Tim McGraw where it's Big and Rich featuring Tim McGraw. He's singing on the song with us. It's really cool music coming out. And, of course, this year, you know, we'll probably do close to 100 concerts and same thing next year. So if you're a Big and Rich fan, you got new music coming and you got lots of shows and, you know, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're always hamming it up on there too. It's just a great time, man. I mean, how much more fun can you have than to be part of a group called Big and Rich, for God's sake?
How'd you come up with that?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We didn't come up with it. Everybody always called him Big Kenny, and I'm John Rich. So it's as a joke, because we were kind of connected at the hip. You know, like Butch and Sundance, basically, and people just started saying, oh, look, it's Big and Rich, ha, ha, ha. Like it was funny, and then when we made a record, we said, well, let's call it Big and Rich. That's what everybody's calling us anyway.
What about the Music Mafia? How did that come about?
That came about out of necessity, because everybody in it, Gretchen Wilson, Big Kenny, myself, Cowboy Troy, and many, many other artists, we were all a bunch of kind of misfit artists. Outlaw, misfit, against the grain kind of artists for what was going on in Nashville at that point. So we all just said, hey, we'll just start our own thing. So every Tuesday night for 72 Tuesday nights in a row without missing one, we had a little jam at a place in Nashville called the Pub of Love, which holds about 60 people. And every Tuesday we drag in speakers and drag in instruments and get up there and just start jamming. And Music Row found out about it, and the big executives started coming to the jams. And next thing you know, people are getting record deals, and Music Mafia became a real eye-opener, I think, in Nashville on what country music could sound like and where it was going.
Well, you all had your own calendar at one time.
Go Google Music Mafia, M-U-Z-I-K Mafia. It's a wild story. If you're looking for a good read, it's out there. All kinds of incredible things happen. And I just want to say thanks for the time on this interview, too. It's cool to talk to you again, and we need to make sure we get you backstage so we can reconnect in person.
Mr. Rich, I really appreciate it. God bless you, and thank you, sir.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a pleasure talking with you. I'll see you soon.
Okay. Take care now.
Take care, brother. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:41, Kevin Miller in the morning. We're joined by Emily Wither, live from the Middle East at 580 KIDO. Emily, good morning. Hello, Emily. All right, Emily's not ready there. We'll get back to her in a minute. Phone number's here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And obviously, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of that journalist who was killed. You heard the president earlier today, live from across the pond, if you will, saying that the U.S. will not be deterred, that we will not be intimidated. These are tough issues here, and certainly requiring presidential leadership. And we will take a look at that as we move along. If you're not familiar with the story that we are talking about here, let's take a look at it here at 580KIDO. What is the president's strategy concerning ISIS? Let's look at 580KIDO's Jared Halpert. All right, we'll get back to that. That's 0-2, three strikes, you're out at 580KIDO. Now, when we take a look at this journalist who was sitting there doing his job, minding his own business, covering the stories, you know, should someone be killed for doing their job? Should someone be killed for reporting the facts? And we take a look at Jihadist John, and this is what he has to say.
I'm back, Obama, and I'm back because of your arrogant foreign policy towards the Islamic State, because of your insistence in continuing your bombings in Al-Mal, Zammar, and the Mosul Dam, despite our serious warnings. You, Obama, have yet again, through your actions, killed yet another American citizen. So just as your missiles continue to strike our people, our knife will continue to strike the necks of your people.
Boy, you know, this is worse than a movie. This is worse than anything else, that you have the brutality of this regime, this ISIS. And we take a look at ourselves and we think to ourselves, what will we do about this ISIS threat? Now we have people that worked in ISIS that actually were working at airports across the country. And, you know, who knows when they're going to come for us. Let's take a listen to the latest from Emily Wither.
It's thought to be one of the worst atrocities carried out by ISIS fighters. Between 560 and 770 men captured at a military base near the city of Tikrit were executed. Officials with Human Rights Watch say they have new evidence showing the mass killing north of Baghdad. The airbase had previously served as a U.S. military facility. The group posted graphic photos in mid-June showing gunmen loading captives onto trucks and then forcing them to lie in a shallow ditch with their arms tied behind their back. The pictures were intended to spread fear among Iraq's security forces. Emily Wither, Fox News Radio.
So we have this threat, and let's face it, people are killed all the time in the Congo. People are killed all the time in Africa. People are killed all the time in China. And yet, I guess the big difference here is they don't have the brutality of the ISIS regime. I mean, here you have a man who is killing another person, calling out the president of the United States. Do we have a strategy to defeat ISIS? Let's hear from John Kirby, Pentagon spokesman at 580KIDO.
The only way you're going to destroy an organization like this is by defeating their ideology. You can bomb them every day, and you're not going to get rid of the ideology that that allows them to fester and to continue to get resources and to grow, to train and to equip. The only way to do that, to defeat the ideology, is good governance. Good governance in Iraq and good governance in Syria.
And is that really possible? We'll talk to Senator Risch coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. He'll take your phone calls at 580-5436. But as we take a look at our national will, as we take a look at our great military that has liberated one and another country and has not had the thanks of the administration, do we send 18 to 24-year-old American males and women into combat, battling something that is not a country, but is an ideology that makes Al-Qaeda seem tame? And my dear friends, my dear true believers, my fellow Americans, as we get ready to commemorate September 11th again, these people are calling us out. Look, when you kill someone on the internet and you call out the president of the United States, and then they attack us, there is no, well, gee, golly, Willikers, I wish they would have told us. They have no respect for us. And it is either us or them, as we've said many times, and I've said this throughout my 20 years of doing talk radio. It has come down to the point where it is either us or them, similar to what we had when we had the National Socialists, when we had the Japanese attacking us with Pearl Harbor, with the Holocaust. Now, many people say that we should maintain our borders. Well, let's face it, talk about the scary part of today's world. Our borders are not secure. So if you're ISIS and Jihada John, who's to say that you're not already in this country working with the narco-terrorists? Look at how much the country stopped for those two nitwits in Boston. Could you imagine a coordinated attack in 11 major U.S. cities? What that would mean?
Obama, and I'm back because of your arrogant foreign policy towards the Islamic State.
And this is not even a wrestling promo. We've never been confronted by this form of evil before, have we? So at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, you know, I could sit there and say, we need to destroy ISIS, but where are we going to get the national will? Certainly the American people understand the threat. Does our government?
Of your insistence in continuing your bombings in Al-Mudn, Zamal, and the Mosul Dam, despite our serious warnings, you, Obama, have yet again, through your actions, killed yet another American citizen. So just as your missiles continue to strike our people, our knife will continue to strike the necks of your people.
Can you imagine this? This man filled with such hate, such venom, such brutality, such inhumanity. Can you imagine being that journalist sitting there, standing there, making a statement, knowing that you're going to die, whether you're 30-something or 40-something, it's over, for doing something that you believed in, for reporting the facts. This is why in the old days we could say, well, I'm with the press, I don't take sides. No, everyone has to take a side against these thugs. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 5.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:54, Kevin Miller in the morning. On a sad note, there are a couple issues that are going on that, you know, this is a program that we do our very best to be different. We give you the news, but we don't sit there and read the news to you. We let you comment on it, and we don't let, we encourage you to do that, where you're an active part of this program. And as I was hanging out yesterday painting my fence, I got a couple issues that a lot of us get. Of course, we don't think about these illnesses until we're touched by them. Now, many of you remember our friend Mike Makowicz from Fox News Radio. He's been with the network since 05, since it was conceived, if you will, for lack of a better term. Sorry about that. Since its inception, thank you, Sweet William. Mike Makowicz was fighting cancer, and he passed away. And Mike was always very good with us, even though I couldn't spell his last name and half the time couldn't pronounce it. But as I was mourning his death yesterday, I wanted to acknowledge his great contributions and how many of us take a look at our lives and think to ourselves, wow, what we have and what we don't have. I also got an email from a friend of mine in college that a guy who was my fraternity brother, who I felt was one of the most swashbuckling, indestructible people that I've ever met in my entire life, one of the people that you're glad that he's your friend because you wouldn't want to be on the other side of the line of scrimmage from him, now has stage 4 cancer. And when we think of our friends going through these things and those of us that have been touched by it, how do we really confront this disease, whether it's cancer, whether it's lymphoma, whether it's leukemia, whether it's AIDS, whether it's something that we, you know, Lou Gehrig's disease. You know, how do you respond to that? I remember a friend of mine, her name is Dee, and she used to always be on me about my weight in Pittsburgh, and I think she really hit home with something many years ago, and it's about appreciating what we have. It's about, even though, you know, we might be working longer hours, not getting paid, you know, the one thing that we have that we can take care of, that we're in control of, at least to some degree, is our health. And I just thought to myself, here you have Mike Makowicz at the prime of his career, working in the White House, taken from us by cancer. And then I have this young man, maybe my age, maybe a year or two younger, going through stage 4 cancer. As many of you know, my sister had lymphoma. And when you're in those rooms, as unfortunately many of you know, anything can happen. So the purpose of this segment really is, you know, let me just take off the headphones for a minute and, you know, speaking to you one-on-one just to appreciate what you have. And even if we don't understand what people are going through, to try to be more understanding and supportive. You know, we take for granted a smile or walking or something like that. I couldn't imagine this young man dying, but that's a real possibility. And to appreciate our friends and our family members in our life. And again, we send our respects to the family of Mike Makowicz. He was always one of the great highlights of our morning show. You would just pitch it to him, and he would roll. He was always a good sport about it. 57 right now in Eagle. Kevin Miller in the morning. You're listening to 580KIDO. Let's get you to traffic. Kevin Miller here. Coming up next, Senator Risch. Stay tuned. Serving M.